is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a great God tonight, don't we? Amen. Man, let's just sing maybe a couple of verses to that as well. That'd be all right tonight. Just worship Him a little bit. Amen.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Oh, think about it now tonight. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Amen. Every demon trembles at His voice. Hallelujah. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, all will see how great.
Bible says that one day every tongue shall confess, every knee's gonna bow before Him. But before that time, I believe everyone will see how great our God is in the life of His people. He'll be revealed in them. His grace will be revealed in them. His power, His majesty will be revealed in them. And they will be a witness to all the earth. Amen. That's our job tonight, amen? To show the world how great our God is. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here with you tonight. I'd just like to invite you to turn in the scripture with me. Thank you, musicians. I want to remember Brother Baker and several members of the family. They're on an actual vacation this time. Most of his trips are not anything resembling a vacation, but they'll be traveling through Mediterranean, Greece, and some different places, and just praying that they have a real nice time, amen? And just get his batteries recharged, amen. This evening, just like to get right into the Word, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And tonight, I'd like to just give this a little title of an overcomer's life. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth... Sorry, I'm trying something new with my iPad here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So John is showing us that there's ones that are born, and those that are born of that one, and that there's a love one for the other, and it's a proof of who they are because of that love that they have. And he says, and this is the proof of that love, that they do what he said. Amen. That they live according to his commandments. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God. How many is born of God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So if you raise your hand, you're an overcomer tonight. If you didn't raise your hand, you can become one tonight. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just count it such a privilege to be here tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just commit this time to you, Lord. And Lord, we just desire for you to speak to us. And Lord, we've come, we've gathered, we've created an atmosphere, we've worshiped, we've sung songs. Lord, but now we need to hear from you, Lord, through your word and by your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would come and bless this word, anoint it to our hearts, Lord, and that you would speak to us, Lord, for we commit all things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So I kind of like that scripture because it doesn't make any exceptions. Amen. The only group that he's talking about is those that are born of God. Amen. So all you've got to do is make sure that you're in that group, and you're automatically in the other group. Those that overcome the world. Amen. And he says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'd like to also read in Romans 8, verse 37, just a portion of this big part of a scripture here, Romans 8, where he says, nay, in all these things, and Paul's naming off a whole bunch of things, if you know that portion of scripture. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I've been thinking about this, the life of an overcomer and the life of a believer, and what it means to live a life of an overcomer. And I've been struck, you know, by the things like this that we read in the scripture, and yet at how often our own lives seem so ordinary, right? Has anybody else thought about that too? While at the same time our life is so ordinary, it's at the same time extraordinary. It's supernatural, but it's natural. And we know and we are taught that we are children of God. Is that right? The Bible says that we are new creations, distinct from the old, but yet still in the likeness of the old creation, born of the Spirit of the living God. I mean, these are lofty things that we're talking about here, right? These are big things. We have experienced the very life of God. Amen? The life of God, the Zoe life, the very eternal life of God. We can say we've experienced it and we've received it. That's extraordinary. Amen? That it has come into our lives and quickened us and made us alive. We can say that we have personal access, right? Not just through an intermediary or a broker, but personal access to the creator of everything. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to a church or some other person. You've got personal access. You've got Jesus on the main line tonight. Amen. That's how important you are. Amen. I don't care if you, compare yourself to any ruler or any important person on the earth tonight. They don't have the same access that you have if they're not born again to the creator of all heaven and earth. Amen. Name droppers got nothing on us. Amen. I'm fixing to drop a name. It's the name of Jesus. Name above all names. We've got promises of supernatural power at our disposal. We can just pull them out. And they're ours. We own them. We've been given them. We've been told to use them. We've been given authority and power over spirits. Amen. Amen. We have angels whose purpose is to minister to us. Whew. This is extraordinary. Yet it's all right there in the Bible. Amen. Powers of the kingdom of darkness are arrayed against us. And yet they have no authority over us. But yet they're doing all they can to hinder us. They've got our names plastered in Hell's Most Wanted posters. And we're the biggest target on Satan's hit list. And yet at his best, he belongs under the bottom of our feet. And these are just Bible truths. Sworn enemy of hell. We are eternal spirits, yet walking in flesh. Not just spirits, eternal spirits. Not all spirits are eternal. We are the elect of God. Through his foreknowledge, he knew us. Before he created anything, he had us in his mind. We are so personally loved by the most powerful being in the universe that he wanted to come and experience pain and sickness and ultimately death for us. And he wanted to draw us to himself. And he wanted our fellowship and wants. The most powerful being in the universe. And yet, after all of those things that I just told you, our lives seem at times and feel so ordinary. Or is it just my life? Is it just me? Does a being that I just described to you, a being with all that authority and power and that extraordinary position. They get up in the morning with groggy eyes and maybe roll over a few times. And then they realize that they've got a few aches and pains. And they've got a push to roll themselves out of bed and go get dressed and get in the shower and get a breakfast and get something to eat and get their stuff and comb their hair and brush their teeth and do all those things and then get into rush hour traffic and drive to a job to work for somebody, to give their time to somebody else so that they'll give them a paycheck so that they can pay their bills. That was that being I just described. That all hell is shaking when they take a hold of a promise of God. We're not talking about Samson, who's defeating, you know, 1,000 Philistines and picking up the jawbone of a donkey and killing people. And picking up the gates of a city and carrying them on his back. And going around and doing, you know, all these huge things, right? This is not Moses standing at the Red Sea, parting the waters and leading, millions of people out of Egypt. This is somebody going to work and sitting in an office. This is somebody going to the grocery store or the laundromat or vacuuming the house. Amen. This is not Samson. This is Sam. Right? This is not Moses at the Red Sea. It's Molly with the vacuum cleaner. It's so easy for us to see the importance of past saints' lives. We can look at Elijah on Mount Carmel. The great showdown where the fire fell from heaven. We can look at Peter and John and the other disciples and Jesus. We can see them at the Mount of Transfiguration. But what about those that are at the Mount Zion showdown? What about us? We can see martyrs even of past ages. We can look back through the lens of history and we can see them going to the death in the Colosseum. Being eaten by lions, and maybe they thought they were living a mundane, ordinary life. But yet we can look back and see the power that was on display. We see our own prophet with a whirlwind coming down, angels visiting him, miracle after miracle after miracle, vision after vision after vision. But me, I've just got everyday life. I just get up in the morning and go to work and come home and live just like everybody else. So how is it important or significant? If I'm an overcomer, shouldn't I be taking the world by storm? Shouldn't we be out there, you know, subduing kingdoms? Right? Am I the only one to ask these questions? 1 John 5 says that we overcome the world. And Romans 8:37 says that we are not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. How do you be more? What does that mean to be more than a conqueror? Isn't a conqueror enough? But he says you're more than a conqueror. Being more than a conqueror, it means to gain a surpassing victory. Amen. It's not just a temporary victory. It's a victory that goes on and lasts for eternity. It has a lasting, you know, a natural victory. It's only for so long until the next king rises up and the next army comes along. But ours is a surpassing victory. Amen. So when God placed man on the earth, what did he tell him to do? He said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, replenish the earth. Put him in the garden, said, tend the garden. He made him a gardener. Right? Right, Brother Merritt? He made him a gardener. So at least, Brother Merritt, you don't have the excuse to say, Does my job scriptural? It made him a gardener. But he also said, stay with my word. Right? Stay with my word. He gave us natural lives to live, doing natural things. But we should do those natural things in obedience to his word. By doing natural things, ordinary things, in a supernatural way, in other words, in obedience to his word, our lives become extraordinary. Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells us very simply, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Hallelujah. Walking with God to the grocery store is overcoming the world. Because you're walking there with him. Amen. You know, as the Bible doesn't tell us about any of the great victorious things that Enoch did, what was his victory? Walking with God. Amen. That was his victory. I don't know. He could have been a carpenter. He could have been a fisherman. He could have been a farmer. The Bible doesn't tell us what he did. Because it isn't important, because whatever he did, I love that. It could have been anything. He could have been a soldier. He could have been a king. We don't know. Doesn't matter. What matters is that he did it walking with God. In the Old Testament, it was very clear because you had law. God gave them the law. He said, do this, don't do this, and that will be pleasing to me. Right? And you either did it or you didn't do it. And that was a pleasing life to God. That was victory. That was victorious. Christ has fulfilled the law, and we walk in newness of life. Is that right? So in everyday life, we do everyday things walking in newness of life. Now we all know, brother, sister, that this is a lukewarm age. That's how this age is characterized in the Bible. It's lukewarm. It's not hot. It's not cold. And lukewarm means that it's comfortable. It wants to lull you to sleep. It wants to give you a false sense of security or a deception. Satan rules, and every bit of his strength comes from deception. He has no power. The only power and ability he has is to deceive you that do have the power into laying down your power. Amen. So now, in the culmination of all of his work through the ages, he's developed the most deceptive age in Laodicea. And he's trying to lull us into thinking that we don't matter, that our lives are insignificant, that the choices that we make as they come, that they're not that important, that they don't have eternal consequences, that they don't affect us or affect others around us. It's a lukewarm condition of comfort and false security. He tries to keep us from recognizing the spiritual battle that we're in. Not recognizing the spiritual kingdom that's at work while you're at work. Because you're just at work. And it's all natural. And you're just doing this and you're doing that and you're going through the motions of your daily life. And if Satan can get you to think that that's all it is, then he's won a battle. He's got you, has actually taken you out of the fight. But we are called through faith to be overcomers. We are called to a faith that says believing is believing, Not seeing is believing. We know that there's a spiritual battle going on. We know what we've been called to. Is that right? We know who we are and where we're going. Amen. A faith that overcomes. Brother Brown preached a message, faith is the victory. I'm going to read some quotes from that tonight, Lord willing. But he says that faith is the victory. The faith that takes the unseen and brings it into the seen. Amen. As we go to work or we do our daily routine, bringing the unseen into the seen. The Bible tells us that Jesus called regular people. Amen. He didn't go out and find the highest and educated. He wasn't looking for anything spectacular, I'll put it that way. Right? It was just regular people. The Bible says that the common people heard him gladly. It was those people that received his message. It was those people that he went and he fellowshipped with, and he sat down and ate and supped with them. This is the God of all the universe, right there in their midst. And it was common people. And to them it seemed natural. Completely just normal, everyday life. They didn't eat any different. They didn't dress any different. Yet here's God in their midst. How many times have we done that when we come into church? And we just come in and it's just natural and we think, oh, you know, that's my brother, that's my sister, and it's what we do. We sing these songs, but we don't recognize the supernatural in our midst. We don't recognize God in the building. Amen. We don't see the spiritual battle that's going on. We don't see the spiritual aspect of what we're doing. We just see the natural part. We just think, oh, it's just church and Brother Doug, he's just, you know, he's got the ideas about that. Well, maybe that's God speaking. Maybe that's God using him. Maybe that's God using the song leader to sing that song. Maybe that's God using your brother or your sister to testify. And you should be listening. Maybe he's speaking to you. Jesus called regular people like you and me. I hope that's okay if I call you a regular person. Amen. But he's called them to a supernatural life. An overcomer's life. Amen. Let's read a couple of quotes here. The message of grace. Brother Brown says, when he came, he never come to great theologians. Neither did he go to Caiaphas the high priest, only to be condemned by him. But he took fishermen, men that were poor, and walked the common life. Walked the common life. What does that mean? It means that they didn't change the way that they were living necessarily, other than that they walked with God. I'm not talking about sinful things. They changed that. But just the normal things that they ate the same things, right? They were just every day. And to that he revealed himself and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Show that his grace still reached down even from the Jews to the Gentiles to call a people for his name in this last days as we have just been through it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Our everyday life is where the victory is won. It's not the great war like, you know, a great Roman general. You know, that story that Brother Branham talks about, the great Roman general, right? Where he went through and he was looking for someone to ride in his chariot with him, and you know the story. Right, and he went through and he picked this old beat up soldier, scars all over him, because he fought. He was in the front lines. He wasn't a great general with, you know, decorated and all that, but he was one that was right there facing the enemy. He was the point of the spear, so to speak. He was the one that was pressing in and put his life on the line. He was the one that day in and day out lived the life of a soldier. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for those kind of soldiers. Not the ones that want to be up and recognized and, you know, all the decorations and the parades, but the ones that are on the front lines. Amen. A hidden life in Christ, Brother Branham says, the reason we're not getting anywhere today is because we got too many dry-eyed professions and church joining. Lukewarm, backslidden church members. That's the truth. We need more of the old-fashioned, God-sent St. Paul's revival in the Bible, Holy Ghost. The power in breaking up to make people act different, look different, walk different, talk different, be different. Now you say all that. See, we're all different. But he says, and what? And live different in their everyday life. Live different, walk different, talk different in your everyday life. You don't go live some other life unless you're called to it, right? Now, we're not talking about, you know, we have to qualify this a little bit because the disciples, I mean, the apostles, they were called to that ministry, right? And their everyday life was a little different, right? But they were called to that. But there were hundreds of others that weren't. Not all of them were. The majority of the kingdom of God is this. Live different in your everyday life. And Hebrews chapter 3. Brother Brown says, if you say, oh, hallelujah, I spoke with tongues. Hallelujah. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean a bit more than if you got out here and played a tune a guitar on a guitar or something. That doesn't mean one thing. Though you spoke with tongues, though you shouted and run up and down the aisles and cried tears till like you had been peeling onions. That don't mean one thing, not one thing. Unless that everyday life backs it up.
Amen.
Amen. An overcomer, a more than an overcomer, goes through the same things in life that a non-overcomer goes through. They're born just the same way. They grow up. They go to school. They get a job, hopefully. Right? They have family and family issues. They get sick. Right? They experience loss. They experience heartache. They experience trials. They experience taxes. Right? They labor and strain and have stress. And if the Lord tarries, they experience death. The overcomer goes through those exact same things as the unbeliever. So what's the difference? One goes to work at an office, the other goes to work at an office. One cleans their house, the other cleans their house. One raises a family, another raises their family. The same things. One goes to the office, and on their lips is words of encouragement and faith. The other goes to the office and on their lips is words of profanity. Amen? And blasphemy. It's all how you live your life. One faces family trouble, the other faces family trouble, but one has faith and the love of God. And turns the other cheek and prefers their brother and sister, and the other strives and struggles. One has hope, the other has hopelessness. One has faith in a healer, the other has hopelessness. And only a doctor's prescription to lean on. So overcoming is living God's word. In a simple, ordinary way. Amen? is accepting God's word and accepting the correction and accepting the chastisement. That's what an overcomer does. An overcomer repents with zeal, right? And receives the correction of the word and willingly bears the reproach of the gospel. Bears the reproach of being called a holy roller or be called a Christian or a fanatic. They bear that reproach. They walk in the ordinariness of life, but with complete faith in Him. Hallelujah. One relies, as I said, on man's ability, doctors, lawyers. If you ever think about this, you know, people have a lot of faith in doctors because they don't know what the doctor even says half the time. Right? Have you ever heard a doc or a lawyer? You ever hear them talk? You don't know what they're saying. It's like, I need a translator. Right? You don't know what they're saying. You don't know anything about their business. You're just taking their word for it. Right? It's an act of faith. Well, he said it's this way, so I'm trusting him. Well, why not do that for him? Amen. We can trust a doctor, a lawyer, something we know nothing about. We can trust Jesus tonight. Amen. Let me read you some quotes here. Faith is our victory. You say, John, when he wrote that, he did not have my troubles. He's referring to that scripture we read. He did not have my troubles. He did not have to deal with the folk that I deal with. He did not have to go through the things that I go through. He said, that's right. He may not have had to deal with the same folk. He may not have had to overcome the same things, but he never excluded them. For he said this, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The whole thing. I mean, that's why John wrote that, or why the Lord wrote that through John. The whole world. You know, Brother Ram says, that's the whole thing. Right? That includes everything that you are going through. He says, how is it? Get faith in it. Right above it. When we have the written word of God laying before us, and the Holy Spirit here performing and showing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with divine promises written here, that whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. What do you have to do then? Have faith. Amen. Just have faith. Oh, just believe. I'm just going to lose my tie. Amen. Just believe. But look at what he says. Have faith, not just a floating faith. Not just make-believe faith. What's a floating faith? A floating faith goes up and it goes down. Right? in the service when the anointing is there and the power of God and the word is being preached, it floats up. And then when it goes back to its daily life, it floats down. He says, not a floating faith. It's not a make-believe faith, but a real faith. And he says that kind of faith. Faith is a conqueror. Faith is an overcomer. It isn't a peacemaker. Now he's going to get into something here. It's not just a peacemaker. Aren't we supposed to be at peace with all men? Yes. Amen. Are we supposed to be at peace with the devil? No. Are we supposed to make deals with him? Well, if you leave me alone, you know, I'll do or I won't do this if you'll just get off my back. It isn't that kind of peacemaker. It overcomes. Overcomes. Means it attacks and defeats. He says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What does it do? What is faith? What is to conquer? Conquer and victory is the same. Look at what he says here. To conquer, it means to beat down. Amen. Amen. You didn't know that your faith was given to you to beat down, did you? Beat down, override, handcuff, throw into prison. It means that the sin that what, now that doesn't mean you do that to your brother or sister. That doesn't mean you do that to your office mate, your coworker. It means that the sin that once ruled you, you rule it now. Amen. He says it means that you have overcome it. You've whipped it. Beat it down. Override. Handcuffed. Thrown it into prison. Hallelujah. He says you're greater than it is. Oh, I feel religious right now. Amen. He says, which was first, a sinner or a savior? A savior, for a savior is more powerful than a sin. Which was first, the healer or a sickness? It couldn't be a healer unless it was over the sickness. And so what he's doing is he's showing a hierarchy, right? He's saying the savior came first because you couldn't be saved by something that came later. He had to be there. Savior had to be, and then there had to be a fall. But that Savior could override that, right? And he's saying the same thing about sickness. The healer is greater than the sickness. Sickness is just health perverted. So the healer was there with health, and then that was perverted, that caused sickness. But the healer can overcome that. And he says, and faith is the same way. Faith is the victory that overcomes every curse of the devil. Faith is that victory. Hallelujah. Faith in what? Not faith in your church, not faith in your creed, not faith in some man, but faith in Jesus Christ who made the promise. That's the victory. What is it? It is the victory. Say, my arm's still crippled, but faith is the victory. I still feel sick, but faith is the victory. He says, oh, it overcomes the world. When you can climb into God by prayer until you see the thing conquered under you, then there is nothing that can hurt you. Then you've overcome. You've got 50 miles of elbow room. You're sailing free then. You who've been a drunkard and a slave to whiskey, you'll be the master over him then. Do you ever think about it that way? Those old things that the Lord delivered you from? When he delivers you from something, he makes you the master over it. Where once it ruled you, right? Because you couldn't control yourself or whatever, there was an addiction, you couldn't control yourself. It was your master, but when he delivers you, he flips it. And now you become the master. And brother, sister, when he births you in through the Holy Ghost, you become the master over sin. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. He's just flipped the script. Where once sin ruled and reigned in our mortal bodies, now life rules and reigns. Hallelujah. He said that old devil of alcohol that made you drink, he's your master now. But when you get faith, and I don't mean make-believe, I mean real faith, he's your servant then. You who can't lay down tobacco, you women and men, when it comes to a place where you get to that spot, to where you've overcome it by faith, you'll master it then. Tonight he made us to be masters over sin. That's what we're overcoming. And we overcome that just in our ordinary daily life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I'm so glad that this quote, I'm glad they're all in the message, but I'm really glad this one's in the message. I just love this one. This is questions and answers on the seals. Here's the question. Should evangelists continue on the field? And the answer is no. Just take a tape. Play the tape. Oh, that's not what it is, is it? He says, in this hour, of course, what they mean. In other words, should they continue in this hour? After all the things that's happened, the seals have been opened, all these things have happened, the prophet is on the scene, right? So do we even need preachers? He says, certainly. By all means. Look at what he says. Don't change a thing. He says, if Jesus is coming in the morning, preach today like it was going to be 10 years from today. But live like it's going to be at this hour. This is powerful now. This is powerful for how we live our lives. He says, don't get scrupled up now. In other words, you know, don't get so caught up and make it complicated. Right? That's what he's saying. He says, that's what I'm trying to warn you about, see? Just don't be odd or peculiar. Don't change nothing. But if you're doing something wrong or doing evil, repent, see? He's not talking about that. He's not talking about not changing from sin. What he's talking about is these men that say, okay, the end is coming, so now it's all different. We're all, you know, we'll stop preaching, we'll stop doing this, we'll stop doing that. And he said, no. He says, come back to God. Continue on your evangelistic service just as you always did. He says, if you're building a house, put it on up. So if you knew the Lord was coming tomorrow, keep building your house. He says, if Jesus comes tomorrow, be found faithful at the duty. If you're building your church, go on, put it up. I'd rather be putting my money into something like that than have it be found in my pocket, see? So just keep on. Continue as you are. Everybody understand now? Continue right on. Just go right on as you are. Now don't just stop, or don't stop, don't do nothing. Just go right on, just as you are. Keep on serving the Lord. Now he continues, because this is important. And this has caused a lot of consternation in the message. You know, people getting all scrupled up, like he said, right? He says, now for instance, if you was working for a man, and he's going to give us an example. If you were working for a man, and you know it was 15 minutes before quitting time, and well, you'd say, it's just 15 minutes more, so I might as well just go over and sit down. He says, you would get docked that 15 minutes. We're at the end. We're the finishing group. We don't know how much time we've got left. We don't know if it's days, months, years, whatever it is. Hours, minutes, we don't know. But what he's saying is, just because you're the last one, just because you're at the end, we know it's close, just because you know it's close, it's not time to sit down. You've got to work right up until the buzzer. He says, if you're planting wheat, plant your wheat. If you're digging potatoes, go on and dig them out. Well, that's real spiritual. Going kind of back to this ordinary life thing. Brother Branham is telling us what an overcoming life looks like. If you're planting wheat, in other words, if you're a farmer, he says, keep being a farmer. If you're digging potatoes, go on and dig them. You say, well, nobody will eat them. He says, that don't make any difference. Dig them out anyhow. Just continue on as you are. Why? Now, I want to dig into this just a minute. Because you might say, well, nobody's going to eat them, right? They're saying, because the end is near, if Jesus was coming tomorrow, nobody's going to eat these potatoes. Why does it matter? Right? That's the question. The reason it matters is because somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching your life. God called you to do that job. And he expects you to do that until he comes. And he expects you to walk that walk until he calls for you. And by doing that faithfully, you are a witness for him. You are showing his power to the world. If you are dilatory and you don't do that, you're showing that you're a quitter. Amen? What kind of a witness is that? So he says, just continue on as you are. He says, I got a letter from somebody the other day. Somebody told them, said, well, the time is at hand. Sell the farm. You won't need that food that you live off the farm because the millennium's going to start and you won't need it. So go ahead. And while the tribulations period is going, your children is not saved. So just let them, like, in other words, let them go. Let the children have the farm where they can eat off of it. But you all sell your farm or something like that. And I said, oh my, if I had known he was coming tomorrow and I was a farmer, I would put my crop in today. I would be faithful to what God called me to do right up to the end. He said, I'm going to stay right at my duty. That's right. If he made me a mechanic. So, now let's talk about the ordinariness of our life. Right? Because that was how I started this whole thing. Like, sometimes our life seems very ordinary. And I imagine if you're a farmer, planting potatoes, it seems ordinary. If you're a mechanic, maybe it seems ordinary, right? But Brother Branham says, if he made me that, he says, that's my duty. That's my duty. That's where you overcome. That's where you walk with God. Somebody said the other day, a fellow come in and said, say, brother, you know what? He said, I'm going to give you the second set of keys. I bought a new car. He said, I'm going to give you a second set of keys. Told his pastor, said, I'm going to give you that second set of keys because the rapture might come, you know. And said, I won't be needing them anymore. The pastor's going to miss it, you see. He says, that's making ready, isn't it? All right, but that's the way it is. See, we mustn't be that way. We must be a sane, solid Christian. I'm put here to work right up to the last minute. I got a job to do, and I'll be right found faithful at the post of duty. If he comes this morning, I want to be standing right here in the pulpit. You say, Brother Branham, if he was coming this morning, shouldn't you be out there? No, sir, this is my post of duty. I'll be standing right here preaching when he comes, saying the same things I am. Then when he comes, I'll just move right on out with him. If I'm hoeing potatoes, I'll just be hoeing away as hard as I can. And when he comes, I'll just drop the hoe and take off. Amen. Just like Enoch. Amen. We don't know what he was doing, but he was walking with God. Amen. You know, I wonder if so many times we get in a thought in our mind that Enoch was like a monk. Right? And all he did was walk with God all day long. He walked around with his head in the clouds. Did anybody ever get that impression? Right? That's all he did. Right? Enoch walked with God, but he lived a life. He lived an everyday life. Otherwise, he completely broke every pattern in the scripture. Brother Brown says, if I'm hoeing potatoes, I'll just be hoeing away as hard as I can, walking with God, right? And then I'll drop my hoe and keep on going. I'll take off, he says. You remember the Jubilee year? If they was hoeing with the hoe, they kept on hoeing. They know the Jubilee year was maybe 10 minutes more. And the trumpet will sound at the Jubilee year, and they just kept pitching hair, whatever they was doing. But when the trumpet sounded, then they dropped the pitchfork and gone. Amen. And that's it. Just keep on pitching hay until the trumpet sounds. Amen. Man, I should take that little sentence and just make a bumper sticker out of it or something. Just keep pitching hay until the trumpet sounds. Amen. Go wake Jesus. Amen. I'm gonna hurry here. God made you to be healthy. How many believe that? Yes. God made you to be healthy. The devil got in. Don't you think it'd have to obey him the same as the wind? He made your body. He made you a human being. He gave you eyes and gave you health. I would above all things that you prosper in health. It's the devil that gets in there. So this is a way that we overcome, right? Walking in our daily lives in the health that God gave us. And a walk in that health is a victory. They should have known that he knew, it's the devil that gets in there, right? The only thing that he's ready to do tonight, he's been resting from other revivals, but he's ready to be called. They should have known that he knew, he was talking about Jesus in the boat, right? They should have known that he knew that was going to happen. He knowed all things, and he knew it would happen. It was only proving, and it proved to be a test of their faith, right? So he's talking about when he was asleep, Jesus was asleep in the bow of the boat. And the devils tried to come and drown him. But he says it was proving and a test of their faith. He says, I doubt him even being asleep. He was just laying back in there and he knew what was going to happen, just waiting to see what they were going to do. They were just on their road. They were just doing what they were supposed to do. And the enemy came against them. And that's the time to overcome. Right? They were not looking for trouble. Next quote here, perseverant. Sickness and disease has cut people off from walking right in the line of duty. Walking right in the line of duty. Now, if you want to be healed so you can go live according to your own lusts and whatever you want to do, that's a different story. But when you've surrendered your life to God and you're walking in the line of duty, you're walking with Him, you're walking in obedience to His Word, the enemy has come against you. And he said, and you said, above all things that I would that you prosper and in health. May the God who gave the promise not only look through the pillar of fire, but through the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ, and may them diseases get scared and move back off the people. He says, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. He's praying. He says, now Satan, you who've bound the people and hindered them all these years, kept them bound in sickness. Now, I want you to look at what he's saying here. Satan has hindered them. He's bound them. He's kept them from walking in the line of duty. Right? See the words that he's using. Now, these are just ordinary people. Everyday people. Plumbers, electricians, teachers, whatever. But Satan has bound and hindered them from walking in the victory that God has given them. He says, we come as representatives of Christ, and we adjure thee by him who gave us the authority to do so. Leave the people. Come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. May the power that raised Christ from the grave break every doubt from the people's hearts that they might receive healing just now. Amen. Amen. This is how we overcome. Amen. Former and latter rain, just a couple more. Is that all right? Yes. Two more. Let's go over to Revelation. Jesus said himself, he that overcometh, I will give him the morning star. The Bible said that. What is it? An overcomer. One that overcome the world. Right? That was what we read in John. He that's born of God overcomes the world. Now look what he says. Overcome self. Overcome pride. He says, I'll make him the morning star. What is it to do? I'll shine him up and set him up there. My oncoming power will reflect mine own presence. Hallelujah. In the darkness. He that overcomes will I give the morning star. So he gives us a little bit more. Overcoming self. Overcoming pride. Laodicean church age. Last quote. You stand with me tonight. In each of these three major trials. So Jesus was tempted in three trials. Is that right? Brother Brown says in each of these three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, he says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word, but Jesus overcame by the word. Amen. Now look at what he says. And right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer. It is the only way that you can know if you are overcoming. Because that word can't fail. How do I know that I'm an overcomer? How do I know that I am overcoming? How does your life line up with the word? It's not, are you out there doing the quote unquote great thing? It's, are you living your life according to the word? Whatever, wherever God has planted you, whatever you're doing in your everyday life. Now, I said a moment ago that people are watching you. Right? And we can be an inspiration and a role model for someone else. Because, brother, sister, we need to see people overcoming. We need to see people walking in this way. We need to see people faithfully coming to church, faithfully testifying, receiving the promises. And when we see that, we look at that and we say, that's what an overcomer looks like. So that's what an overcomer looks like in Laodicea, in everyday life. Jesus is our ultimate role model, but it's not just him. Right? It's not just the apostles. It's not just Brother Branham, or even the pastor, or the ministry. Amen? We need men and women that are the role models, that are living this life out. I was thinking about that, how there's that poem, that Psalm of Life, as we were at the memorial, my father-in-law's memorial here, week or two ago, I just kept repeating the portions of that poem over and over that the prophet often quoted, right? Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and in parting leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, right? Someone else, a shipwrecked, lost, someone who's, and I remember how the poem goes, but someone who's strewn about and gone through a hard time, seeing those footprints will take heart again. Seeing that you walked through that same trial. Seeing that you lived that life and the word was victorious in you. And seeing that example and saying, if they could do it, the word would do that in them, it'll do it for me too. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about encouragement. And you know, when I was younger, I used to play soccer was my sport. Played it since I was very little all the way up through high school. Many years. And soccer is a very physical sport. You have to be in very good condition, a lot of running. We used to run with the cross-country folks because we would run as much or more than they did. And so we would train with them. And when I was looking for inspiration, because it got tough, you know, you pushed yourself physically very hard. And in athletics, they're always looking for a source of inspiration, something to help them get through those tough times, right? To push through the pain, to train through. When their bodies are screaming at them, I can't go on. You know that there's more in there. And so mentally you have to push through and you have to tell it, no, I'm going to keep going. So you're looking for inspiration. But I'll tell you, brother and sister, in those times, I was not thinking about some great professional soccer player, right, for inspiration. I wasn't looking to someone out there that was, you know, some superstar. Right? In other words, I don't look necessarily to the apostles or prophets, but what I was looking for was the guy right in front of me. The guy that was on my team, that had just run that 5 miles with me and was going up the same hill I was. And was the same age as I was. You know, and had been eating the same junk food that I'd been eating. And had the same cramps that I did. And he was going, we can do it. And he had done, he was in front of me and he had gone up that hill. That was my inspiration. Amen? It's those right next to you. That's why God put us together in a body. We are deceiving ourselves if we think that we don't affect one another. If you're going through something doesn't affect the one sitting next to you. Don't let the devil steal your victory. Do you want to know what an overcomer looks like? I'm looking at him. I'm looking at overcomers tonight. I'm looking at overcomers. Amen. When you look in the mirror, do you think overcomer? Maybe not, but you are. Don't let the devil steal your victory. We've got to finish this thing. We've got to finish well. Amen. We are part of the finishing work. We can't get sidetracked. We've got to stay the course. Amen. That is our victory. That is what an overcomer of Laodicea looks like. The overcomer of Laodicea finishes. They're not the one that hands the baton on to the next. They are the finisher. That's what they look like. They're the ones that overcome the lukewarm. They're the ones that overcome the religious spirits. They're the ones that lead the life that looks ordinary, but is actually extraordinary. Amen. Is that you tonight? Amen. Amen. Do you identify with that word tonight? Amen. Amen. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. That's all he has is deception. The only tool he has, the only weapon, is to get you to lay your weapon down. But you're a devil defeater tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the overcoming victory, Lord. Lord, that you've given to each one of your children. Father, tonight, I pray that you would just raise a kind of faith in your children's hearts, Lord. Not a faith that floats, Lord, that's up and down, but Lord, that steadfast faith. That knowledge and that revelation, Lord, that they are an overcomer. Father, I pray, Lord, that tomorrow and the next day and the coming days, that as we go about our daily lives, we go to work, we go to school, we tend to things at home, we go to the grocery store, we go to the gas station, we go to the bank, whatever we do, that we walk with you, Lord. Just like Enoch walked with you. Walking with you in victory, no matter what trial we're going through, no matter what sickness has attacked us, whatever thing has come our way, yet walking with you and walking in victory. I pray that you bring that word to our remembrance, Lord. Those times when we get discouraged and it looks like nothing good is happening in our lives, like maybe you're not even at work, yet we know that you are. And I pray that you bring that to our remembrance, Lord. That you're in control. Lord, that you've got all things working together for good. Lord, that there's nothing wrong in a child of God's life. Lord, that every footstep is ordered. Lord, every trial is ordained and every victory is promised. Oh, hallelujah. How we love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as a body. Lord, as we're part of that finishing work, Lord, to just keep right on going, Lord. Just like your prophet said, if we're planting potatoes, just keep right on going. If we're hoeing a field or a garden, keep right on going. If we're building a house, just keep right on building, doing what you've called us to do, Lord. Faithfully walking day by day, not growing weary, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're looking forward to that trumpet sound, Lord. But Lord, help us walk in victory while we're waiting. How I bless your name tonight, Lord. We just ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just worship him for a few moments? He's the mighty conqueror. Amen. He's the reason that we are overcomers. It's through Christ Jesus I can do all things tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him and worship him. Oh, hallelujah. We've been made more than conquerors, victorious, overcomers in this life. Hallelujah. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Say that with faith tonight. This is what the Bible says about me. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors tonight. Hallelujah.